What's up, Who Dat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Saints Podcast. What's up, Who Dat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jeff, and I believe this is going to be a sober Super Bowl episode of the Dome Patrol Podcast. We are recording this too early in the day to have numbers, except maybe James, because what is it, 6:30 or something for you?
5:30.
Yeah,
only so just finished work.
Yeah. So this is our Super Bowl preview show. We did have the instant reaction posted earlier this week, where we talked about the Alvin Kamara and the Sean Payton and the. It's going to take a while.
He's not the coach anymore.
The Dennis Allen news. That's right. The Super Bowl, and we have some pick'ems to do, right, Jason? And without further ado, I would ask everybody, strap on those seatbelts, keep your hands and legs inside the cruise ship at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm at my lunch break at work. Reacted to the CJ McCollum trade.
Oh, that's right.
That just happened. But
wait for the Pelicans plunge episode where you talk about that.
Look, I was ready to do it this weekend, but Ben's at on an island somewhere. So,
all right, James, welcome to the show. What's your status?
Positive. Status, I am currently COVID. Still positive for COVID. Yes, it's 6 days in now, and I'm still testing positive. But no illness whatsoever, so I don't know what all the fuss was about.
I said that. All right. Jen Scott, welcome to the show. Which number?
I do not have a number. Working today. It's been a busy morning, but ready to get into some Saints and Super Bowl talk, I guess.
All right. Okay, folks, then yeah, let's talk about the Super Bowl first, since thing happening.
Can we back up for 1 second before we start talking about that?
No.
I know, well, we did the instant reaction show about Dennis Allen and Kamara, but James wasn't there, so maybe he would like to give his 2 cents.
Okay, I'll allow it, James.
Thank you. You're welcome, James.
Put me on the spot. Thank you. I'll go with Kamara first. It wouldn't be a Saints offseason without some kind of shenanigans. I'm just surprised it was this quick for it to occur.
Usually we wait till the Super Bowl's over.
I mean, look, if that's not an example of why the NFL should not have gone to Las Vegas, then I don't know. Then I don't know what it is.
It'll probably be the last one in Las Vegas, I would just say. Yeah.
Well, the Super Bowl's there next year, isn't it?
Oh, gee. I meant the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
More than likely, the Saints will make the Super Bowl next year, and half the team will get arrested the week before the game.
Yeah, probably. It's just very stupid, but until, you know, I mean, the pictures that have come out today of the guy's face, if that is him, I don't know. It doesn't look good. It doesn't sound good. Why Kamara spoke voluntarily to the police to
He's
say,
a good guy.
Yes, I punched him. It was probably not his smartest move. But yeah, it remains to be seen what happens to Kamara. But, you know, I mean, and I know their incidents were at college, but if people like Tyreek Hill can still be playing in the NFL after what they did, and Adrian Peterson, you know, he might get a slap on the wrist and he might miss a couple of games. But I think that's about as serious as it's going to get.
I actually applaud Kamara for not lying and just saying, yeah, I did it. I mean, one, if he knows there's cameras on him and they're going to end up proving it anyway, it's better to just be truthful outright. I think the other thing is, think about even just the PR, the Twitter storm, whatever, from the peanut gallery of people who will be, if he says he didn't do it and then the evidence comes out that he did, then he's more of an asshole and he's more of an unlikable guy. Whereas this, it's like, you know, like I tell my kids all the time, don't lie. Like, just tell the truth. I'd rather you just tell the truth and you'll be in less trouble if that's the case. Just be honest. I already know the truth. Yeah. I just want you to
I get
be
that, but you really need to let the lawyer do his work. Like, there's lawyers can bring up all kind of extenuating circumstances and can add more to the story. I'm not saying lie, but also, like, have your lawyer present.
They can still do that.
But he didn't.
Yeah.
No, but the lawyer still can. They're going
to
negotiate.
Yeah, they can and stuff, but it's easier to do it from the get-go when he's talking to police. Like, never talk to cops without a lawyer present for anything.
No, I mean, ever. I mean, you don't.
I mean, it's just young fans listening. Drew, Jake, if you ever get in trouble, make sure you have your lawyer present with you before you talk to the police.
Sounds like speaking from experience.
It's common sense. I've never been in trouble with the law, but I know enough lawyers and know enough to know not to talk to the cops without a lawyer present.
I wouldn't do it either. And our police are not anywhere near as mental as yours. So
that is true.
But, you know, I mean, Kamara seems to be a fairly chilled out guy, right?
So we thought.
Something's happened. Something has happened.
It's called alcohol.
It could be.
He was leaving the club at 6:30 in the morning. I can pretty much guarantee that he was under influence.
He wasn't sober.
Something. No, he was not.
Could not have been sober.
Unlikely to be sober. But yeah, something's happened somewhere. It's all got a little bit silly. The guy tried to get in a lift with him by the sounds of it.
And that's an elevator for the US fans.
Yeah, whatever. Right.
Yeah, I pictured an Uber when you said lift. So, yeah. All right. And then what are your thoughts on the Dennis Allen situation?
It's the right choice. You know, continuity, I think, was big for us. We needed that continuity. We don't need to blow it up and start again. And let's be honest, for the last 2 years, it's Dennis Allen's defense that have carried the team. And I think, you know, having him still in charge, head coach, he's got to get the offensive coordinator appointment right, and it's got to be the right person. And obviously, we need to decide who the quarterback's going to be, but I think it's the right decision. And, you know, I'm not saying he's going to be the coach for the next 16 years like Peyton was, but I don't think this is going to be a one and done or 2 years and, you know, next year we're 4-13 or whatever it is. You know, the core of the team is there. It's his defense. The team know him. The team like him. You know, he's got a good relationship with management. Sensible choice.
They had a picture of the new offensive coordinator candidate where he had the cameo role. You know what I'm talking about? His name was like Lionel the Janitor or whatever. It's pretty funny.
What?
The Home Team movie.
Oh, yeah.
He did have a cameo and he was Lionel the Janitor and had him in like a wig. So it was like Lionel should be the new offensive coordinator.
Oh.
I mean, the interesting one for me is Carmichael not staying as offensive coordinator, staying with the team but dropping down. I think we're all of the same opinion that that's so he can leave when Peyton takes his next job, right?
Well, that's not official. That's kind of the word that might happen. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what they do.
So, you know, we kind of talked about it last night before the rumblings were that Carmichael would take a reduced role. And I thought we should just rebuild the offense from scratch. Just completely save the good defense that you have and rebuild the offense from scratch. Where do you come down on that? Would you prefer to keep Carmichael, James?
I think for so long, this team were defined by Sean Payton and Sean Payton's offense that Pete Carmichael's had 16 years of working in, right? He hasn't left and come back, has he? It was Lombardi that left and came back and then went somewhere else. We need a new identity on offense, and I'm not sure you want to run Sean Payton's offense without Sean Payton being there to run it. Fresh ideas, you know. Look, next season we're going to be a defense-first team, I think. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
We were that this year.
Well, exactly, yeah, but I think we'll be the same this year. We just need, you know, we're not going to win every game 9-0, let's be honest. It'll be nice to, but I don't think we will.
I think Jeff mentioned, too, last night that, you know, Carmichael's his own guy. He may come in and just be like, all right, I have this Sean Payton's offense, but I also might tweak it to run it my way. I'm kind of paraphrasing, but isn't that kind of what you said, Jeff?
Yeah. Like it may be a variation, like, right? Yeah, it's Sean Payton's blueprint, but Carmichael puts his own paint job.
He might run like a triple reverse instead of a double reverse.
Right. But if he spills his
paint. He might just run the ball.
he might like Wrigley, you know, spearmint gum instead of juju fruit kind of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, look, let's be honest. Did we run Sean Payton's offense last year? Really?
His offense was contingent a lot on Breeze too. You know, we didn't have
hence why he's gone.
a Breeze type quarterback, I guess I would say. Somebody that can
pocket
and passes. Jameis was looking like that, you know, while he was here.
So
I still maintain that if Jameis had not got injured, we would have gone deep in the playoffs this year with that defense.
Mm-hmm.
We might even have been playing this weekend.
Yeah. I mean, if Jameis continued on the trajectory that he was on, getting better and better every week, he was more than a game manager. And all we really needed was a game manager. We would have won at least two or three more games, gotten into the playoffs. And we saw that the NFC in the playoffs has been very unimpressive.
Yeah.
It wouldn't
have
taken
much game that he got injured was when he was looking at his best. He was sharp. He was running the ball. His passes were, you know, anyway, that's the ultimate what if, isn't it? So
yeah. Jason, you asked that question about, like, okay, rebuild the offense. So obviously you're going to keep Michael Thomas. You're going to keep Kamara.
I don't know if it's obvious you're going to keep Michael Thomas. I mean,
if you're going to rebuild,
I think
100%.
I think they should, but I don't.
Who else do you keep?
McCoy, Ramchek. You still got Harris. I mean, you know, we still do need players. We need more receivers.
We need another running
back now.
We need a tight end.
We need offensive linemen. Unfortunately, we probably have to keep Ruiz.
Well, at the moment, our starting offensive next year is what? Ramchek at left tackle?
McCoy.
I mean, you can have the same personnel,
right?
You can have the same personnel and run a different type of offense.
I mean, obviously, it all comes down to the quarterback. Is it Jameis or do you draft somebody?
Well, so, and the reason I ask that is it's kind of like they're too, like, when you say rebuild the offense, it doesn't matter who your coordinator or your head coach is. The Saints have to rebuild this offense no matter what. Even if Sean Payton
it still matters. Everything matters. You still need the players, but everything matters. But I'd also like to.
You see my point? Like, you've got
but I'd also
six
like
guys
to innovate some new concepts.
Okay. Then then that's going to then dictate who you draft or what free agents you
to fill rebuild those holes. Rebuild the offensive scheme, I guess is the best way to put it.
Yeah, because we have to actually rebuild the offensive personnel simply
because
we don't have
an offensive
personnel.
That's why you need to have your offensive coordinator in, you know, and knowing what they're doing so they can get players to build around their scheme.
Right. What are the chances of Bieniemy coming over and being your OC?
He's a free agent.
I don't see it happening.
Why would he leave Kansas City?
Yeah, and that's the thing.
To prove that it's not just Mahomes, Kelsey, Hill.
Yeah, could do
and
that.
And be able to call his own plays.
Yeah.
And really let's be honest, the offensive coordinator is going to call the plays on offense. It's not going to be Dennis Allen calling those plays, is it?
No.
And apparently it won't be Carmichael.
So let me ask this question. Do you think, like, okay, so we had an offensive coordinator for Peyton, but he called the plays. Do you see DA calling the defensive plays, even though we have another defensive coordinator?
I do. I actually hope so.
Chris Richard or Ryan Nielsen are the two that they think are going to be in with the run-in. You'd like to think that Dennis Allen's going to keep the play calling, if that was the case.
I would hope so, and I know he's going to have to spread his attention, so he'll have a little less attention, you know, totally focused on defense. It's also the game planning as much as it's calling the plays in the game. So if he's that invested in game planning for the whole team, I do worry that there's going to be a little slippage in the defense just for the fact that the dynamics are different. So
it's hard
to get better than where we were. It's really hard to go up.
Yeah. I mean, on defense, we might lose Marcus Williams, right? He's the only one.
I would think he'd have to be a priority.
They're gonna find a way to
but he's the only starter
on
defense that is a free agent, right?
Would you count PJ a starter?
Now you will.
No. Is Quan under contract?
No, he's a free agent. He's the other one. But you know, Cam Jordan, DeMario Davis, Lattimore, Malcolm Jenkins, CJ Gardner-Johnson. The core is there. They're experienced enough now where I don't think we're going to see much slippage on defense.
Okay.
Personally, but...
Yeah, I mean, and, if they're running the same thing. They're motivated
to play for their guy, their coach.
Right. You can talk about the Super Bowl now, Jeff.
I mark my words. That and who's refereeing the Super Bowl? Which crew is it? Is it Vinovich's crew?
No, he had one of the title games, didn't he?
Yeah, it's not Vinovich's crew. Okay. I don't know who it is.
Because if that was the case, then I'm going to FanDuel right now.
one of the main things that I've seen, and it's not necessarily game related, and it'll get more game. Things will come out more this week since the Super Bowl is next week. But a lot of people complaining that. If you go look at the prices for tickets for the Super Bowl, like the average person cannot.
Are they not the resale costs?
I don't know.
Viagogo and stuff. I don't think that's the.
It's a corporate event. I mean, a lot of most of the tickets are off. You don't get the real fans that are fans of this team. If you allowed the ticket prices reasonable.
Oh, I'm sure it would be full of Bengals Rams fans are going to
be full of it would be full of Bengals fans. Absolutely 100% would be full of Bengals fans. But nobody from Cincinnati can afford to go to this.
What you trying to say about Cincinnati?
I mean, or any city. I'm not just saying Cincinnati in general, but I mean any fan of a team, it's damn near impossible to
when the Saints went in 09, I remember like as a fan, like the option was like $2,500 to go.
That's nice.
As a fan, which is I didn't go. It was too much.
I mean, it's crazy.
Which is weird because like, how is there that much cheer?
Why is it so loud?
How is it so loud? And they talk about the Buccaneers played in front of a home crowd. They didn't play in front of a fucking home crowd last year. They played in front of a bunch of suits.
They pipe in noise like the Falcons do.
Right, that's got to be the case.
It's the biggest game of the year. Of course, they're going
to
pipe it.
But this, I mean, they do giveaways. Like, there's a lot of giveaways to fans.
Yeah, this thing happens over here with the big finals, like the FA Cup final and the Champions League final. The teams, so stadiums hold 80,000-90,000. Each team is only given 20,000 tickets each. Less than half the stadium goes to genuine fans of the teams. The rest of it is corporate sponsors, or people that you have to buy, like you said, $2,500 to a ticket to the Super Bowl.
Jason, when the Saints went to the Super Bowl as a season ticket holder, did you get an option to go?
I was put into a lottery. I didn't win. Now, Courtney did contact me at some point because he was able to go and he got a ticket for $800. Okay. And I still said no because I always wanted to be in the quarter if the Saints made the Super Bowl. Now, looking back, I kind of wish I would have gone to the Super Bowl. But, I mean, I also had a great time in the quarter. When the Saints. I mean, that whole day, that it was incredible.
But yeah, about being home. But
that was basically the face value. So I could have gone for a face value.
But for the lottery, if you would have won the lottery, how much would you have had to pay?
Whatever the face value, I think that's
so the 800 or something like that.
Honestly wonder if like the Saints ever made the Super Bowl and the game was in New Orleans, like you would have a mob like just banging down the doors to get into the game.
Like you had with the England fans in the summer.
I mean, it would be absolutely mayhem.
I mean, yeah, because like with Tampa making it, I mean, they only have 25 fans, the Rams have 7 fans. So you haven't really had a home Super Bowl with a real fan base, is what you're saying?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if you have a real fan base like the New Orleans, I mean, I don't know how you would keep people out.
Yeah, you'd really struggle. It's a stadium, it'd be a mob right scene. Right in the city.
Yeah.
You know, the Tampa Bay Stadium is out of the city, isn't it? It's in the middle of nowhere. It's next to the airport, isn't it, I think? You know, the stadium in LA is what, an hour outside downtown LA, something like it. I mean, it's absolutely crazy.
And that was Miami too. Miami Stadium was way out of the way.
Yeah.
It would be crazy. Yeah. Somebody be breaking into a lot of cars that night.
Jeez.
All right. So we got Stafford in his first year with the Rams, spent so many years with Detroit. Are you happy for him that he's finally
gone? I kind of am happy for him. I think he's going to lose, but I'm kind of happy for him that he at least gets to go, you know?
I mean, after being stuck in Detroit for so long. Yeah.
If I'd be happy for him if he wasn't playing for them.
Yeah, I could see that too. Happy for him as a person, not for the Rams.
Right. I hate the Rams. So, but it is interesting, you know, the Rams really have gone all in the last handful of years. I mean, they don't have a first-round draft pick for like what seems like
4 years, I think. Yeah, 4 years until they get the next first-round draft pick or something silly like that.
It'll be interesting to see the development. Like the, you know, they made the Super Bowl, obviously, in, what was it, 2018, and they played like shit. I'm wondering how much the coach, you know, might have learned from that experience if he does things differently this time around.
I don't think it's going to matter. The Bengals have got something this year. I don't know what it is. They've got something this year.
It's called Joey B is what they fucking have.
And I don't think they're going to be beaten. I just don't see the Bengals getting beat this weekend.
I agree, James. It's kind of like the Saints when it's 09 with the Saints. There's something magical. There's a intangible team of destiny feeling happening with Cincinnati, and it's only grown in the playoffs. It's kind of one of those things like you can come up with any analysis you want. At the end of the day, the Bengals are going to win this game. There's no, it's just, and if they don't, then something's wrong with football.
Well, I don't know about that.
No, I do.
Look, the Rams do have an incredibly talented team. I mean, they traded
Indianapolis.
I mean, they traded for freaking Von Miller this year to add to
Aaron Donald.
Right, It's Aaron Donald. I mean, you signed Beckham after losing
Robert Woods.
Fuck the Rams. I can't get.
I like this too.
You know, Cooper Kupp had one of the greatest statistical seasons by a receiver. They got Cam Akers back from his injury. So, you know, they're very talented. I mean, they are going to be hard to beat. They're going to be very hard to beat.
Are they more talented than the Chiefs on offense? Are the Rams more talented than the Kansas City Chiefs on offense?
On offense, no.
The Chiefs have a better quarterback. The Chiefs have Tyreek Hill. I know Cooper Kupp had a really good season. I think the Rams have a better defense. The Bengals shut them out in the second half of the title game in Kansas City, and I don't think you can overlook that. I know the game's in the Rams stadium, but it's not going to be a home game for them. It just isn't. You know, look how many 49ers fans were in there for the title game. There was more red than blue in the stadium.
Yeah. It'll be a lot of celebrities and stuff there, you know, but that's going to be about it.
I'm looking forward to the halftime show more than the game, if I'm being honest with you.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Yeah, it should be pretty good.
Dr. Dre, Eminem, Snoop Dogg. Snoop,
yeah.
Kendrick Lamar, Mary J. Blige.
It's going to be good.
I like this. That's 43 Grammy wins on the stage at the same time, in case you're wondering. I said, congratulations to anyone who grew up in the 90s and early 2000s, because this show is basically built for you.
If anybody went to the Up Smoke tour back in 2000.
I've got that on DVD somewhere in the house.
Oh, that's great.
All right. So, yeah, y'all talked about a little Aaron Donald, Cooper Kupp, Jalen Ramsey.
That's going to be a nice matchup to watch, Ramsey against Chase. So I know I haven't paid attention to any of the injury issues, but I know CJ Uzama got dinged up in the AFC title game. I thought I saw he said he's not missing the game. We'll see how healthy he is. But what about Hendrickson? Is there anything on him?
I have not heard anything.
No, I've not heard anything good or bad.
I mean, I would assume these guys are all going to give it a go. It's a Super Bowl. You have to. So hopefully Trey is effective.
Yeah, I would think.
And will the Bengals offensive line be able to not allow Burrow to get sacked 10 times?
But I mean, look, he got sacked 9 times and he still won the fucking game. Like, he's fucking Superman. It doesn't matter.
He did. He did.
He's Joe fucking Burrow.
Can't do that every time, though.
That's the explanation of everything. Well, it's Joe fucking Burrow.
It's Joe fucking Burrow. I mean,
team of destiny.
Joey
Cool. I mean, the Chiefs defensive line's pretty good, isn't it? Chris Jones, Melvin Ingram. There's somebody else as well.
The Titans had one of the best defensive lines, and they beat the shit out of Burrow, you know?
Yeah, I mean Aaron Donald is different.
Interesting and hard to believe that no quarterback has won the Heisman and National Championship and a Super Bowl. Like, that was a shocking stat to me that it hasn't happened before. Now Burrow could do it in, 3 years' time?
I think this is wild. This is the only second time that two number one overall picks of quarterbacks to get you.
Another shocking statistic, right?
Statistic.
Yeah. It's a fantastic statistic. that took some doing.
That was well done on your first try.
That was good.
The other thing is everybody's talking about Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. Like, let's not forget the Rams have an LSU player as well.
He's banned from campus. He doesn't count.
Yeah, right.
We came out of the press yesterday.
Who are you talking about? Whitworth? I was talking about Beck. Well, you're talking about wide receivers.
Joe Burrow's not a wide receiver, bro.
Ja'Marr Chase is, bro.
Okay, well, I said Burrow and Chase.
There's another LSU player.
I've got a bit of a thing against Andrew Whitworth, to be fair. This is a bit of a personal one. There's a magazine that we get over here, an NFL magazine. Needed an interview for it. And he basically shit on playing games in the UK and said that it's the worst thing the league have ever done. I hate it. I hate going. If I didn't have to go, I wouldn't go. It's ludicrous to play. So yeah, fuck Andrew Whitworth. Don't care that he played for LSU.
Yep. I'm with you. Fuck him too.
Why don't you like him, Jason?
He made a bunch of comments after the Rams, after the Saints got fucked in 2018. So I'm just like, you know, fuck him.
Fuck that guy.
Right. Fuck that guy.
All right. Then we're going for the Tigers.
The Bengals. If you get a chance, ask your Alexa who's going to win the 2022 Super Bowl.
Oh, what does she say?
You have to hear it.
All right. Well, she's not in the room with me, so.
No.
So I guess, you know, one interesting thing, and.
Here we got about 10 minutes.
We'll get to it in the text chain about what kind of, now that gambling's readily available, what kind of prop bets we're all going to be throwing down on it.
Yeah,
I was actually just looking at that. So I already took Bengals +4 and also took them straight up on the money line. I'm looking at taking Joe Burrow to win the MVP. It's a +230. So you could win some money on that.
If the Bengals win,
he'd have to be. They also have
Chase goes crazy.
They have some where you can take like Stafford or the field.
Burrow's gonna make sure he spreads the ball out so Chase doesn't have a chance.
They have a bet for the Super Bowl MVP on the losing team. It's +5,500. MVP on the losing team.
Has that ever happened?
I don't know.
Would Stafford end up like that? To me, the Rams would be harder to pick who the MVP would be, whereas Joey B is going to be the MVP. If Cincinnati wins, it's because of Joey B.
They have some good ones. Ja'Marr Chase and Cooper Kupp combined for 200 plus receiving yards.
That seems fairly easy.
That's a +100. Either Ja'Marr Chase or Cooper Kupp score 2 touchdowns.
Are we doing this because we don't have taken the over on the team control?
I mean, I guess I'm just reading.
We got to have a gambling section now.
Just reading. I mean, there are some infinite prop bets. Obviously, you can always probably bet like the coin toss and bet the length of the
national
anthem.
What flavor Gatorade? Is that what you said?
Huh.
I saw there was one like
bet
like,
on the color.
Like how many planes are going to be in the flyover?
Oh, that's an interesting.
Oh my goodness.
Over under. Yeah. It's everything, Jeff. It's everything gambling was meant to be.
They had one. I remember when the Superdome, was like
when the lights are going to go out.
No, it was close. It was whether a pipe would leak or a pipe would burst during the game or something.
They were close.
Right.
Which disaster will happen? The roof catches on fire.
I wonder if there'll be an earthquake since it's in LA. An earthquake during the game.
Oh,
will Bane show up?
So, all right, let's do our pick-ems real quick so that we don't lose that one. Jason, do you know the spread on this one, or should we just go with Cincinnati?
I mean, I saw it at 4.5.
It's Cincinnati at the Rams, right? Are the Rams the home team? Like, I know they're in
the Cincinnati is the home team.
So does that mean Cincinnati gets the Rams locker room?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd piss all over it.
Yeah, because
we shower. Would have had the Falcons locker room had we have been in the Super Bowl that year.
And so are the Rams are giving 4 points?
Yes.
Four and a half.
Oh, four and a half for pickups?
FanDuel has four. Okay. I don't know about.
I saw it on the ESPN scoreboard. It said.
All right. Well, I'm clearly
the Bengals
taking
are winning the game.
I put
the Bengals are winning the game.
Real money on it. So
yeah, I put real money on it. I took Bengals plus
James,
four.
You're taking the Bengals.
I bet the money line too. Bengals.
Scott, yeah, you're taking the Bengals.
Joey B.
Jason, I'm rolling assuming you're Joey taking B. the points with the Bengals.
I'm taking the Bengals. Yep.
Okay.
One more time.
So everybody's taking it. So this means Allie Gibbs has to take the Rams if he has any shot of beating me in pick'ems. Because did we go over pick'ems last? Yeah, we did them. We went over the scores last week where I'm in
first
place.
You tweeted out. I think you tweeted out the table as well. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I tweeted out the table. That's what it was. So yeah,
I'm spectacularly average at 500.
Yeah, there you go. Jason 47 and 55. Neil 46 and 52. So you got your own little battle going on down there at the bottom.
I think I got him though.
You're beating Ben though, right?
Ben is in
Ben's,
last
Ben's
place,
bottom, isn't
36
he?
Yeah. and 56.
Yep, Ben's the bottom bitch.
Classic, Ben. All right. So any final thoughts before we head into Super Bowl Sunday?
I have one, and I don't think we've talked about it on the pod. London.
Yes.
So are the Saints playing in London, or do we just know it's an international game?
The Saints are playing in London.
Oh, that was confirmed?
Yep. Nick Underhill and Jeff Duncan both tweeted that the game was in London at Tottenham Stadium.
So it's happening.
Yes.
No turning back.
It hasn't been officially confirmed, but those two people have said Saints are in London.
The NFL could always change their mind or something if something happens, but it's looking like it's going
to
happen.
So my question to you is, my question to you is, are you all coming?
I am. Renee and I are coming for sure.
100%. The plan is to come, depending on planning on the dates and when it is, but the plan is to come.
Scott, you've got a trip that was delayed from 2020, to come to London.
So that will be our trip. So I might not see y'all very much on the trip, except for at the game, because my wife's like, I'm doing the trip that I already planned. If everybody wants to come along with us, they can.
Well, I think that's what Andrea's position was. We're going for a week.
So what you need to do if you're coming for the week is you need to come on the Monday of the week before, do all your wife shit until Thursday, and then Friday and Saturday and Sunday
belongs to us, the guys,
drinking, carnage, football.
I think we're going to
the women could probably just go home on Friday.
I think we're going to go to Paris for a night or something, just...
Right, two and a half hours on European, the train from London to Paris.
Yeah, like we were talking about a European kind of tour, and then finish it for the weekend at the game.
The logo needs to be like the National Lampoon's European Vacation, but it's the DPU European Vacation.
I mean, look, the last time the Saints came over, the Saints took out a bar in London and had the whole thing. You've probably seen the pictures and the videos that Ash, me, and Ben have posted and stuff like that. If they do that again, that'll be good. But I'm probably going to organize my own, like I did when we did the meetup a couple of years ago, and do it somewhere separate.
A dome patrol.
And there literally could be hundreds of people there. So it's going to be the Saturday night before the game is going to be, you're going to need iron stomachs the next day. Put it that way.
Right. Well, I don't know. I'd rather do that Friday night so that we can
go to the game.
Rested for the game. I don't want to go to the game hungover.
You're in Europe. That's what we do. But anyway, it's to be determined. But that's my plan, is I'm going to organize something for us, but then also the UK group that I kind of run the WhatsApp for. And it's going to be.
I love the idea of a big Dome Patrol roundup. And then we could even caravan to the other bar or something after six hours.
Because I can tell you, Neil would be there. You'd finally get to meet Neil. Allie Gibbs would be there. All the people from the UK that listen to the show. That's what we're doing.
That's awesome.
Sweet.
So yeah, that's my
I cannot wait. So now, right, I guess the schedule comes out. Is that May?
April, I thought. Or April is usually.
Is it before the draft?
April is when
we might know the Saints game before the schedule's released in full.
Okay. Right, because that'll dictate.
Start saving your money, fellas.
Oh yeah, no, we've already Renee right. apparently because we may go. She's like, we may go.
Kids, no vacation this summer. Yeah. Dad's got to go to the Saints game in London. All right. Any other final thoughts? A couple of minutes.
Press conference today for Dennis Allen. Hopefully we find out about OC and maybe DC at some point in the near future. They got to get that in place, I think, for when we start free agency, start to draft, all that stuff. They need to have what they want to do in place.
All right, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the Instant Reaction, 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show, the Dome Patrol Podcast, the Pelican Plunge, the Premier League Podcast, and the Tiger's Den. Follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast and at Dome Patrol UK. Follow us on Facebook to watch live streams. And if you want to participate in game day chat or just general chat, DM us on Twitter to get an invitation to the Dome Patrol Discord server. And you can always listen to us the old-fashioned way. If your podcast app breaks down, you can go to Dome Patrol Podcast.
Come.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, sober donkeys.
Good night, who that nation. So sit back, relax, and strap on your seatbelt. You've never been on a ride like this before. With a producer who can rap and control the maestro. At the same time with the dope rhyme that I kick. You know and I know I flow some old funky shit. To add to my collection, the selection symbolizes dope. Take a tote, but don't choke. If you do, you have no clue of what me and my homie Snoop Dogg came to do. It's like this and like that, like this and it's like that, like this and like that. It's like this, and who gives a fuck about those? So just chill, to